Mr. Cutlets, Mr. Cutlets, when you swing around that pork chop, I get a whiff of heaven every time you pass my doorstop. With the chicken and the brisket and the marrow and the giblets, Mr. Cutlets, spend some time with me. I know it's crazy, but it's true. It's not worth eating if it lacks the greasy and the chew. Mr. Cutlets, Mr. Cutlets.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm Josh Ozersky, aka Mr. Cutlets.
And I'm sidekick Mo Rosen.
And this is the Mr. Cutlets Show on the Heritage Radio Network. And we're here at Roberta's under the benevolent sponsorship of TechServe.
Yes, thank you, TechServe.
We're here in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And Noam, this is your neighbor. I only rarely come here.
Oh.
But I know that this is your neighborhood. And I've been struck often by the kind of primitive greatness that is Roberta's. This is a restaurant that I would drive an hour to go to.
Oh yeah, no, it is quite excellent. Yeah,
and you see all your friends here and everything. We should describe it for people that haven't been here. It's essentially like in a big empty factory space with all these kind of makeshift back beer gardens and this flower like plants growing around. Well, some of which are go into a salad or something.
Yeah, yeah, they grow their own stuff here, right? So. So look, Mr. Cutlets, I've been instructed to ask you about your fabulous birthday celebrations, Meatopia.
Well, Noam, of course, if you had actually come as you right. were supposed to have
Well, we'll get
done,
to that. We'll get to that.
Meatopia, of
Meatopia
course.
Meatopia 5, was
no,
it?
No, this was actually Meatopia 6.
Oh, really?
The slaughter this year was Lamb Bam Thank You Ma'am. You know, we have a different theme every
yes.
year, like... One year was
Slaughter
of the Innocent.
That was very nice.
Infanticide.
Right.
Babies, animals.
Baby meat.
We had Baconalia.
Baconalia. I was at Baconalia.
That was a belly, all belly program.
Yes, that was very nice.
I think one year we had Deckel Fest. Next year, I think we might go with an all raw. Have it all carpaccios and tartars.
Really?
Well, the thing is, this year's theme
That's
was Lamb
super
Bam.
Super gross.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, you may have found this gross. We had six not live, but because they were dead, but we had six lambs
that
going
follows.
On spits with heads on them and the eyes and, you know.
See, I don't actually eat lamb. That's another reason I didn't come this year. Because lamb can recognize faces.
Not anymore.
while they're alive, I meant.
Let me tell you something about these lambs.
Please.
Nomi. We had five whole lambs on spits that was made by... Floyd Cardoz of Tabla did a go-on Indian lamb and banana leaves. We had Zach Palaccio, another Heritage Radio host, doing a Malaysian-type crab from fatty lamb from fatty crab.
Oh, yeah.
Philippe Massoud of Ilili did a Middle Eastern grape leaf stuffed Lebanese lamb.
Oh, yeah.
We had Michael White, his proxy... Gordon Finn from Alto made an Italian lamb with like rosemary and olive oil and lemon and so forth.
Well, that does sound very nice.
And then somebody else did one. I can't forget who the other guy. Oh, of course, we had Chris Lee from Oriole. He did an amazing lamb with black cardamom and so forth. And then there was another lamb. Anthony Goncalves from 42 did a Portuguese lamb. I had the two best pit masters in the East Coast doing barbecued lamb, lamb ribs, lamb shanks. We had lamb offal sausage from Michael Tsalakis of Anthos.
Right.
Oh, you should. And then brains. He brought a big tray of brains.
Absolutely.
And
disgusting.
He put them in. Had a little. You Horrible. Can see some of these highlights on the video on our site, the feedbag, the-feedbag.com, which is our City Search blog.
Well, I definitely will, and I'm sorry to have missed it. You know, I hate to miss a Meatopia.
Well. You know, I mean, I guess you can't hate it to miss it that much, or you wouldn't have missed it.
Well, you know, I was really torn. Seems. Actually, I you know, first of all, I was mad at you, and second of all, right. I don't eat lamb, and third of all, I also have been trying to win a bet involving a very small period of vegetarianism with a friend, So that also would have sort of...
I consider none of those reasons to be sufficient.
They weren't, and so that's why I actually did show up, but I showed up the next day. I had the day wrong.
Now, Noam, you and I have... we go way back, obviously.
True. When I moved here from Canada some 8 years ago, God, the Lord, assigned me a wacky neighbor, and that, luckily, was Josh.
That's true, and he assigned me a long-suffering... husband who was the butt of his wife's japes. You were like my Mr. Roper.
Thank you so much.
No, but Noam is a comedian. He's called Mo now.
Well, I go by Mo a lot because that's a nickname. Because nobody can spell Noam.
That's right.
Or say it.
And they allude to Noam Chomsky invariably.
Which drives me crazy. Because I don't like him.
But Noam has done a lot of comedy and voiceover work. Do you have a web presence, Noam?
You could see me on the interweb if you searched for it.
What should people search for?
I guess you could search for Mo and Mary Show. Me and my wife do a cable access show. That'd be the best place to start. Really.
Now, the reason I bring this up is that I was in our old town. We used to live in the East Village. That's where we were neighbors. And I don't know how frequently you'll go back there, but what's going on food-wise in the East Village now, I mean, it's like something... unparalleled in the annals of stoner food.
Really?
Yeah, it's become like the world capital of stoner food.
Wow.
I mean, you know, there's so many places that you can randomly walk into and get like a greasy porchetta sandwich on bread or a spicy pork bun or an arepa.
I was on Ludlow the other day and noticed an entire store dedicated to poutine.
Right, like there's a poutine store, there's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich store.
Right.
I mean, everything except the weed, which is, I guess, like, bring your own.
Not hard to find. The Grift Dog Maniacs are still there.
The tater tots and the you know, yeah, you can go to Grift Dog's and get the Chang Dog or the Wiley Dog with the tater tots. Well, and then you go next door and have the genius cocktails at PDT.
Right, it's through the secret doorway or something.
No, we don't talk about that.
Well, who would?
It's a secret.
Right, it's super secret.
Now, a restaurant that I find highly commendable in the East Village is Barbone. I don't know if you remember on Avenue B near 11th Street.
Yes, actually. You recommended it, and I took Mary there for our anniversary dinner one night.
He's some kind of a mashugana. That's the panda, Alberto. But he has incredible wines, Italian regional wines, and also great pastas. But I think we should stop and think about TechServe and all of our friends, and then come back and talk more about restaurants that I want you to eat at.
All right, cool. Well, let's go to a music break. Thanks, TechServe. You're listening to Mr. Cutlets and
on Heritage Radio Network
and Friend.
And Friend. Okay.
And then you
Well, we're back here with the Mr. Cutlet Show on the Heritage Radio Network, courtesy of TechServe. And I'm here with Mo Rosen, the TV personality, cable access TV personality.
Yes, and straight man extraordinaire.
Mo, I was just telling you that Barbone has got his whole pasta program going now and everything. It's hard for me to eat the pastas because I'm sort of spoiled by the Michael White pastas.
Oh, yeah.
The great pasta renaissance. Even, you know, and Scotty Conant, and there's so many good pastas now. The place across the street from Barbone I don't like is called Spina or something. That, you remember there used to be the place on the corner called Paulina?
Yes.
That corner's like cursed. It's been like six restaurants.
Well, the service at that place was absolutely horrific.
Well, they were like Zips or something that were doing like real Italian service.
Yeah, well.
Like you were in Italy.
Right. Well, why do you think people leave Italy?
Exactly. Exactly. Everybody, you know, but the waiters is leaving. That restaurant is not as good. They try hard. A lot of places, the thing with the pasta is there's some things that if you make it yourself, it's automatically better. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I mean, some things aren't like that, fries, whatever. But, I mean, there are some things that are automatically better, like an egg. Like, if somebody that breaks an egg and beats it up, it's always better than if it's a big tray of...
Of course.
...banquet eggs or
like powdered
eggs.
Back in the army.
But, on the other hand, like, some things... It's better to make spaghetti or pasta from a dried pasta in a box than to make fresh pasta badly. Those guys are making good... handmade pasta,
right,
at a really good price. Across the street, it's a good price, but it's like gummy.
Right. Well, nobody likes that. Speaking of things people do like, though, so you had an adventure, something about a Momofuku chicken adventure?
Oh, yes, my Momofuku chicken misadventure. Well,
what was the deal? What happened?
I'll tell you, Nomi.
For it to be an adventure, you to qualify it as an adventure, it must be somewhat out of the ordinary.
You know, I don't know if you are aware, no, but...
Probably not.
I am banned... from the Momofuku restaurants, you know, David Chang's Chinese fusion avant-garde snack food empire.
Well, I can't see why, but how did that occur?
Well, he is mad at me too.
Why?
Like yourself.
I am not mad at you. If I was mad at you, I wouldn't be here doing this.
He's madder at me than you.
Well, obviously, because I'm here hanging out.
It wouldn't be going too far to say he has a white-hot loathing for me. But he also has a restaurant that's making fried chicken.
Uh-huh.
And there's a big fried chicken fad going on. And of course, it being Momofuku, it was immediately taken up as a fetish by a certain strata of Manhattan foodie.
By the way, you know, Roberta's has got the nice fried
chicken.
Yes, they have
excellent fried chicken.
Yeah.
It's too hot, though, to eat it now, I think.
What, like outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah. Right now...
Frankly, that doesn't stop my neighbors. I mean,
the best fried chicken in town is Rack and Soul's, Charles Gabriel's chicken at Rack and Soul. Then Roberta's is now that Pies and Thighs is closed, Roberta's is probably the second best fried chicken.
Well, Roberta's still the cook from Pies and Thighs is here now, right? That's
is
how
she?
They got the. Well, I don't know who it is, male or
Carolyn
female.
Carolyn Bates or whatever?
I don't know because I'm not a foodie like
you. All right,
so
anyway, we should.
She's here cooking the fried chicken.
It should seem to people that I know about this kind of thing and.
Well,
I shouldn't be relying upon you to tell me.
I hate to scoop you, but she's here cooking fried chicken, apparently.
Oh, well, if that's the case,
but
it explains why it's so good.
Momofuku. So what happened?
Momofuku is also doing a fried chicken.
Okay, so they also
And I
fried
saw
chicken.
A picture of it on Serious Eats.
Okay.
And it looked bad. Now, I saw another picture on Serious Eats of a place called Brooklyn Bowl that had a plate of chicken, and it looked bad, too. Because, you know, I don't think that the people up here know what fried chicken is. Like, it's like barbecue was 4 years ago. Nobody
right.
knew what good barbecue
there
was.
There were rumors.
So.
There were
Well, no,
but
I mean, anything
hints.
That they got, they thought was good.
They're like, it's pig, and you cooked it, therefore
right,
it's delicious.
Like that, like
right.
that. And then fried chicken is also, they had so many bad chickens in the Port Authority and Howard Johnson's or wherever, that they don't know what good fried chicken is. Although, now that after Pies and Thighs, they should. But this chicken was an awful-looking object. Both the chickens.
But you just saw pictures.
I just saw pictures. And I didn't say that they were bad. I didn't say that I ate them. I said they look bad.
And he got mad.
Well, no. He doesn't acknowledge my existence at all. But
the opposite of love.
His partisans got mad. They say, how can you say it's bad? I said, listen. I didn't eat it. I can't eat it. You can't blame me for the fact that I didn't eat it. So a guy went there and got the chicken.
Uh-huh.
And messengered a piece over to me in my office.
thinking this will show him.
No, I mean, they really did that. And I opened the box, and out tumbled a piece of Momofuku fried chicken. Now I've eaten it. And I got to write about what it was like.
And how was it?
It was, well, I'll tell you how it was.
I don't mean to rush you.
It was well-made chicken. It was the next day, but it was white meat and it was still juicy, which is a very difficult feat.
Right.
And a sign of really well-made chicken. But the Old Bay, battered surface that looked burned and nasty tasting.
Yeah.
Tasted burned and nasty tasting.
Well, that's not
good. You can't cook Old Bay in a fryer. It burns up and it tastes acrid.
Okay.
And that's what this skin was like. And it was soft. I mean, it was soft and floppy because it was the next day, but you could see where.
So you left it in the trunk of the Cutlets Mobile overnight?
No, I ate all of it. It was good. I mean, but it certainly was not.
So let me get this straight.
Real,
you had a piece of chicken essentially FedEx to you, and then you let it sat. Yeah, but like.
No, the guy.
Like
sent
a
it
guy
the next
with
day.
A top hat.
The guy
came?
Went the night before.
Right.
And then the next day, he took the piece with him to work, and he had it messengered to me.
Okay. So it's already day old.
But I'm not saying that I tried it fresh. Like, the whole thing with my approach to literature and criticism is transparency. Everyone knows what a moron I am and how I do things, so.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm sorry he got mad.
But I just feel like even the chicken, the thing with chicken is like.
The thing with chicken, folks.
It's tricky because they make they make chicken from a fryer is supposed to be like a 3-pound chicken.
Okay.
But the smaller an animal is and the younger it is, the less flavor it has, which is why, the slaughter of the innocent was a great idea. But the fact is, in almost every case, the grown form is better than the immature form.
Opposite of carrots.
The opposite of carrots, the opposite of cougars and carrots, and there's a lot of things that are better when
opposite
they're
of cougars.
But the big pieces, are meatier, have more flavor. So it can be tricky. And the other question too is how hot you eat it. You need it to settle a little so that the juices aren't seething and they don't hemorrhage onto the first bite.
Right, and you don't burn your gums.
Burn your gums, your tender upper palate.
Right.
But also, you need to have it be. You need to, have it be super fresh. The key thing, I think, is that it should never be covered. Like, any crispy thing should never. You need to have air moving to keep it crispy, because the chance of condensation and evaporation is so dangerous. You want it to evaporate and not condense. It can't get the slightest bit steamy or mushy. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So did you do a mea culpa? Did you say, okay, your chicken's all right? Or did you say...
I said exactly what I told you. And I let the chips fall where they may. And the chicken here is also good because you get it. You got to let it sit, though. If you come here and you get the chicken, you should let it sit for 5 to 7 minutes.
After it comes to your table?
After it comes to your table.
Wow.
But you order 10 other things, so you gobble on a sweetbreads or whatever.
Wow.
All right. Well, clearly our time is moving quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this segment is about
to end. I see how rapt you are and... vicarious lady, bored audience. But this is the Mr. Cutlet Show on Heritage Radio, and we'll see you back in the next segment.
All right, and thanks to our sponsor, TechServe. Welcome back, folks.
This is the Mr. Cutlets Show with Josh Ozersky, the national restaurant editor for City Search.
And Mo Rosen, noted straight man.
Bon vivant. Bon vivant. And straight man.
Friend of Cutlets.
Now, the City Search homepage, I hope everyone's going to look at it and see, get all their key restaurant information from there. Also spas and shopping. But you know that we also have our New York restaurant blog, which is called The Feedbag.
Ah, yes, The Feedbag. The
and
Feedbag.
It's actually at the-feedbag.com. And if you know you can't get enough self-important bloviation from this show, you have it coming all day at you with news, gossip, innuendo, and self-important pontification.
Smile when you say that.
And that is a terrific site. A lot of videos, too. It's the-feedbag.com. We're here today on Heritage Radio.
Yes.
And my friend Noam,
well, you can
actually
say
Mo Rosen.
Mo Rosen, Noam Rosen, whatever. And thanks again to the sponsor, TechServe, and to our producer and engineer here.
Yes.
Who've been excellent to us.
Yes.
You know.
Jack and Nat.
Very
the
nice.
Two of them guys was
good work.
Absolutely invaluable to this undertaking.
Now, here at the back of Reverta's. Now, you had a thing that you, of course, are a food reviewer, critic type person.
Well, I am not now a critic.
Okay.
I only say
positive things.
Well,
I
mostly say only positive things.
Okay.
I'm an appreciator. I cover the restaurant business for City Search.
Okay, good to know.
And that's how I look at it. But the real restaurant critics now.
There's been
some things
happening,
veritable holocaust. Now of critics.
We a have, veritable holocaust of restaurant
you
critics,
have
you say.
Frank Bruni has left his job, the most powerful critic in the country. In the world, actually.
In the world country?
No, he's the most powerful critic in the world.
Well, and he left.
And he left. I mean, it's not him. It was the Times. The Times critic is like...
It's a newspaper, for those of you who... The New York Times,
right,
I
and
believe.
The Times critic can open or close a restaurant... And no other single critic has that power. Like, in London, there's no one paper critic that can really do it.
Okay, and who else has left or
well,
moved
and,
on?
Well, and Danielle Freeman now.
And where was she at?
She was at the Daily News. Now, I'm sure you remember Danielle Freeman from her blog Restaurant Girl that everybody used to make fun of.
Oh, I do remember this,
she was
actually.
Because they said she was, like, so jappy and annoying and everything.
Right.
But I like Danielle. I'm friends with her. And I think that she is underrated, but...
But
there's
you
no
like
question.
Jappy and annoying people.
Well,
I mean, let's
no, I
call
really,
a spade a spade.
I really don't know. In fact, I'm probably like, you know, I think that if I actually gave vent to my feelings about
Please.
Jappy and annoying people, I would
Please, yeah.
I would be condemned. I'd have to apologize to Abraham Foxman of the B'nai B'rith.
Well,
the Jewish Defamation League.
Hopefully my presence here will
well,
assist
we're
you.
We're both members of the tribe, the audience should know.
Well, I don't know.
All right, now, touching... What do you mean you don't know?
I thought you were
no,
Catholic.
No, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, sorry, all right.
Don't be absurd. Do I look
no,
like...
No, you don't look, but I don't know.
Now, Nomi...
Yes.
Danielle...
Yes, what happened to Restaurant
had a
Girl?
Pro style that somehow some people found a bit cloying. She was over fond, they said... of words like succulent and her favorite one was beguiling. The beguiling gnocchis smiled succulently upon the... I mean, she didn't say it like that, but...
Well, that's, yeah, that sounds obnoxious.
And there was even a fake Twitter. Somebody imitated... There was a blogger that hated her so much that he imitated her on Twitter... And he would put these inane Twitters, and then she had to go and...
No, that's not mine. Here's my inane Twitter.
No. We like Danielle, but it was a funny circumstance.
Oh, I bet.
But anyway, so they gave her the mitten.
Wish I was there.
But they didn't just say...
For those of you who don't know, giving her the mitten means firing.
Yeah,
or letting
any form
go,
of rejection.
Usually when relating to dating. That's
yeah,
you
I've
coined
said,
that one.
Well, this actually goes back to what... I got it from Woodhouse.
Okay.
But apparently it was a... common in around the turn of the century.
Well, so were many of your phrases.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring back a lot of these.
Do you have any other examples
obsolete
of colloquialisms? You'd like to share?
Well, what was another one I like to say sometimes is I haven't seen him since the year Aleph.
The year Aleph. That's good.
He fell into the schmaltz barrel.
Schmaltz barrel. I like.
From your mouth to God's ear.
The calves calving? Or
yeah, there's one they say, when fortune is with you, even your ox will calve. That's more of a shtetlism that doesn't drop trippingly from the tongue.
Right.
The one I like they now is when something unexpected happens, uh-huh. like when you think something's going to go one way and it goes the other way, you say, the cow got loose and killed the butcher. Isn't that a good one? There's another good Yiddishism. This is a large parenthetical, you know. But the good Yiddishism, you know the one called the Stickfleisch mit Eigen?
No, I don't know that one.
If you want to describe a stupid person, like a real dummy, a real lummox, uh-huh. you say Stickfleisch mit Eigen. It means a piece of meat with eyes. Isn't that great?
I still like gay kucken auf den Yum.
Yeah, go shit in the ocean. That's one.
Piss in the ocean. Yeah.
Anyway, so
back to the
restaurant
hobby.
Girl.
Back to restaurant girl.
Restaurant girl was fired, or not fired, but
keeping the mitten.
They eliminated the restaurant critic's role in the Daily News, so there is no successor to her. They just didn't want to pay a restaurant critic
right.
to pay for the free meals. Now the meals that she eats are probably. Don't amount to more than a few hundred dollars. I mean, she's 3 feet tall and weighs like 60 pounds.
Oh, okay. A little person.
Yeah, she's not a little person. She's petite. She's actually a lovely woman. She's
oh.
5 feet tall, about. She's a size zero.
Oh, she's bigger.
But also, like, curvy. She's a really, like, restaurant girl's hot. You know, there's no two ways
well,
about it.
Well, if you put your name as restaurant girl, there's a certain girlishness that you would assume.
Yes, right.
But I'm not sure if that really is a good nomenclature.
Anyway, the point is.
What's the point?
That the Daily News was one of the very few places that uh-huh. had a legitimate restaurant critic, and now it doesn't. And this raises the question:
how
of
are
the,
people going to find?
Well,
out where
no,
to
but
eat?
I mean, well, that's the thing. The ongoing argument is always: are we going to have a sort of a, you know, a universal manhood suffrage where everybody is their own critic? You know, it's like when the Gutenberg press came,
right?
The effect on the authority. Of the religious hierarchies of the time was extremely destructive because everybody could read the Bible.
Next thing you know, people can control the own flow of information.
Well, they can control the flow of revelation, and
right.
then it wasn't just something that they had to hear it from the Lord, you know, from the preacher on the pulpit. So,
and also it was great in Police Academy.
When was it in Police Academy? The printing press was on Police
Academy. No, Gutenberg.
Anyway, Steve Gutenberg, right?
Yeah, Steve Gutenberg. You know, because when they had the Gutenberg, the musical, I always kept getting confused. Like, is that about the printing press
right.
or Steve Gutenberg?
Well, you have a certain Gutenbergian
Thank
aspect
you. Thank
yourself.
You. I appreciate
People
it.
People used to say Seinfeld, but you're more like a Gutenberg.
I agree.
Anyway, to...
Did you see
to,
the thing
to take
of him running naked and...
You mind? Let
sorry,
me finish up.
Yeah, please.
The fact is, and we'll raise this more later, like... Are the blogs and sites like the Yelps and City Searches and the places where people register their opinions displacing traditional restaurant critics and their intrinsic authority? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I may have to come back in the next show, and maybe I'll bring if Adam Platt is also. See, you know, it's a strange trend. A lot of people are mad at me now. You were mad at me, Chang. Now Adam Platt was still mad at me.
I can never stay mad at you, though.
But I can't stay mad at anyone. But it. If you could, it would be me.
No, no, of course not. No, you'd be the least likely person for me to
well,
stay mad at.
I only wish that were true. I'm Josh Ozersky, also known as Mr. Cutlets.
Mr. Cutlets, what a fantastic human you are, as usual.
I don't know about that, but I'm a fine writer, and you'll find my book, The Hamburger, A History, in paperback, available on Amazon. You can just look for The Hamburger, A History.
And of course, your other book, Meet Me in Manhattan.
Meet Me in... Well, that's actually out of print now, I think.
Is it? Oh,
yes.
Collector's
But
item.
Please read the feedback, the-feedback.com. Visit us on City Search. Check out archives of this and all the radio shows on the Heritage Network at archives@heritageradionetwork.com. And thanks again to TechServe. We will be back for the next show. And we'll talk more about restaurants and... meats.
There you go, Josh.
Mr. Cutlets, when you swing around that pork chop, I get a whiff of heaven every time you pass my doorstop. With the chicken and the brisket and the marrow and the giblets, Mr. Cutlets, spend some time with me.